John chapter 15, verse 1. Verse 5, excuse me. Vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Father, thank you again for your many blessings, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to stand to preach your word. God, I pray now, Lord, that you anoint me, dear Lord, from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. God, I pray, Lord, that you speak the words that needs to be spoken. May your spirit touch every heart and soul. Have your will and way in everything that's said and done. And we'll give you praise, honor, and glory because you're worthy of it all in Christ's name. Amen and amen. As we look at the scripture this morning, we see that this is the last night Christ has on this earth. This is that Thursday night. He's speaking with his disciples. They're in the upper room. They've already had the communion. The Lord's Supper has already been set in place. So Christ says it's time to go on now. And down the street on the way to Gethsemane, if you pass by the temple, and which they probably did, the entrance into the temple, there's a big cluster of grapevine with a cluster of grapes all the way around the entrance into the temple. And Christ was always one that was known for using things to bring out a message that he had. We have to remember, he's still teaching his disciples. They don't fully understand yet what is going to take place. They don't fully comprehend what's fixing to happen, and their life is fixing to be turned upside down because the one that they've been following for the past 3 years, the one that they had gave up everything for to be with, is fixing to be taken away from them. So he is still trying to teach them, is still trying to prepare them for what's going to take place. When you look at verse 1 of this scripture, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bringeth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So now we're looking at the vine and the says that he is divine. The caretaker is God. God is the one who takes care of the garden. He is the one that takes care of the vineyard. He is the one. You know, there's a lot of things in our lives. Excuse me. There's a lot of things in our life that need to be removed. Amen. Things that we can't remove ourselves. But as God being the caretaker of the garden, as God being the gardener, there are things that he cuts away in our life every so often. Things that doesn't need to be there. And why? Because they hinder us in our relationship with God. They keep us from following him and being as close to him as we fully can get. So God, the vine, when you look at the vine, the vine consists of the roots, the stalk, the branches and the leaves. All these together make up the vine. There are parts of those branches that stick out. If they're not bearing fruit, the gardener will come along and he'll cut those off. But then there's some that maybe they're bearing some fruit, but not as much as they need to be bearing. So he'll take and prune them back some, cut them back some so the next year they'll be able to bring forth more fruit. Now, when you look at this, you think, well, he's talking about witnessing again. No, not necessarily. That is a part of it. But to bear fruit, there's a lot involved in that. When you're bearing fruit, the scripture tells us about the fruits of the Spirit. Peace, love, joy, compassion, goodness, kindness, gentleness, patience, all of these things are added in there as bearing fruit. When you're, one of the things, I'm going to just be honest with you. One of the things that I do not like in churches is cliques. I do not like cliques because when you got this little clique over here and that little clique over there and this and over here, it causes trouble in the churches. There's no need for cliques. There's no, if we can't treat everybody the same way, then something's wrong. We need to be on the altar. We need to treat everybody the same way. God doesn't look at everybody and say, well, I'm going to treat this person one way and I'm going to treat this in another way. He treats everybody the same way. We're all going to be judged the same way. No matter whether we're the preacher, the deacon, the teacher, doesn't matter. The lay person, it does not matter. God's going to treat everybody the same way. He's going to judge everybody the same way by the works that we produce. So if we're to bear fruit, we need to treat everybody the same way. When you have a brother or a sister that's in need, do you go out of your way to try to help them? Or do you say, well, I'm going to pray for you? But many times you forget about it and don't even pray for them. You forget all about it. When we put something ahead of serving God, by bearing fruit for God, that means that whatever comes up, when we're asked to do something, we're going to jump in and give it our all in all. We're going to do everything we can for him. He told him in verse 4, he said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Without God, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. And it amazes me, every church that I've been into, it amazes me how, when, like, just like yesterday, we had a work day. The ones that are physically not able to do anything are the ones that shows up to work. Those that are able, listen now, which are the younger generation than the church, they're nowhere to be found. They've always got something else that they got to do. There's always something else that comes up. Well, I've already got plans that day. I can't do this. I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm not going to be able to go with you on this visitation. We're not going to be able to do this for our sons. What's wrong? Which is more important, our relationship with God or our relationship with the world? See, he says here that we can't do anything. Why? Because we're not abiding in him. The word abide means to be connected to be joined to live for Christ. As a child of God, we should live for him each and every day. Brother Mike brought it up this morning. If Christ is in us, people are going to know it by the life that we live. They're going to know it by the word that comes from our mouth. When a person is dedicated to God, then they're going to be dedicated to his word. When they're dedicated to God, they're going to be dedicated to prayer. When they're dedicated to God, they're going to be dedicated to attending his house, to worship him each and every opportunity that they get. Now, I do understand, and God understands also, there are times when people are sick. I look around. David said y'all had a lot that was sick. We got a few in our, at High Point that's sick too. But there's still those who find something else to do instead of tending God's house. Something will come up that they just think that's more important than worshiping God. Can I tell you, that's your God? That's your God? If it's more important than him, then that becomes your God. If we want to do something for God, then we got to be in God. Paul said, Christ is in me. Christ is in me. He lived for Christ every day. When you look at the life of Paul, when Paul got saved, his life changed. It turned around completely. He was 100% dedicated to God. He gave just as much to God as he did against God before he got saved. He was a persecutor of the church. He even had Christians put to death. Those that wasn't put to death, he had them thrown into prison. Paul said he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Everything that he done before God got his attention was to stomp out Christianity. But on that day, on the Damascus Road, his life changed. And from that day forward, he totally 100% dedicated his life to serving God, to do whatever he could to preach the message, even if it meant being stoned, drug outside the city, left for dead. And on that day, he got up, went back in the city and started preaching again. He was dedicated to God. The first thing that hinders us, we're ready to give up, ready to throw in the towel. Why? Because we're not connected to God like we need to be connected to him. We're not joined to God like we should. Our relationship with God should be like our relationship with our spouse. And hopefully that's a good one. That's a good one. See, God doesn't move. I use this illustration all the time. God does not move. God does not change. God is always in the same place, the right place, every time. But the problem is, when we've been saved for a few years, we think, well, we got this thing under control. We know what we're doing. We know what we got to do. And we start moving away. We start getting further and further away from God. We're still saved. We're still on our way to heaven, but our relationship with God is not where it needs to be because we're way over here and God's still over there. We need to be connected. Abide in me and I in you. That's what Christ says. We need to abide in him. We need to be connected to God. For us to be able to do anything for God, we need him in our life. I can do nothing on my own. My favorite verse, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. On my own, I can't do anything. But through Christ, nothing is impossible. You say you can't do this because you don't have the ability to do it, but God's already laid it on your heart to do it. Why? Because God already knows how much ability that you have. He knows whether you can do it or not. Even though you say that you can't, God knows that you can. If he didn't have faith in you, he wouldn't ask you to do it to begin with. So Christ says that we abide in him. By ourselves, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do all things. But then he goes on speaking about the branches. Also, he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. They are burned. Those that have had the opportunity, as I said, the gardener cuts away the branches that doesn't bear fruit. They throw them in a pile. They're bundled up and they're cast into the fire because they're no use to anybody. I would hate to be in the position where I'm no use to anybody. I want to always be able to do a work for God, to be able to do a service for him. He's been good to me. That's the song they just said, just sung. God has been good to me. And if you'll be totally honest about it, God has been good to you also. There's not a person in it. You have more right now than you've ever had in your whole entire life. And it's because God has blessed you with all that you have. All that you have. So why do we not give him what he deserves? He deserves all the praise that we can give him. He deserves all the worship that we can give him. He deserves all the honor that we can give him. He saved our old wretched soul from a place called hell. He forgave us of our sins. He is preparing a place for us right now over on the other side in glory. And one day, when the time is right, when he calls us home, we're going to be able to walk the streets of gold. We're going to have a mansion awaiting on us. We're going to be able to see our loved ones that's already gone on ahead of us. That day is coming, but we need to be ready for when that day comes. When that day comes. Nobody's guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know when that day is coming. I want to be in a position, not cast over with the rest of the branches. I want to be able to make it home. I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm going. If my family don't want to go, that's them. But I'm going. I'm going. God's been too good to me. And he's been too good to you also. But then he goes on speaking about the connection that we have. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. Be my disciples. Every one of us are disciples. Did you know that? Amen. It's not just the 12 that he chose, but every one of us are disciples of God. So as a disciple of God, it is up to us to let others know about God. It is up to us to help those that are in the need. It is up to us to show kindness and compassion to those around us, not to just certain ones, not to just these over here because we like them better than we like those over there. Shame on you. Shame on you. One of the things, pastor, for the past 9 years at High Point, I tried my very best to do was to treat everybody the same. I didn't care more for one than I did the other. I guess that's one of the reasons why we got along so good. Because they knew I wasn't going to treat them any different than I treat this one over here. But that goes on in churches. It's sad to say, it may go on here, but I do know it goes on in churches where this group of people is treated different than another group. Christ says here that we need to abide in him and abide in his words. When you go back up to verse 3, he said, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We are cleansed through God's word. His word. See, they had him right there with them. The New Testament had not been written yet. So he spoke the word to them. But we have God's word with us every day. The Old Testament, the New Testament, but we don't get into it like we should. If you be totally honest, don't show no hand, but just answer yourself. How much time do you spend reading God's word? How much time do you spend studying God's word? It amazes me of Christians that have been saved for 20, 30, 40, 50 years and never led anybody to the Lord. Who do not know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Who don't know how to tell somebody about Jesus. If a person's been saved for that long, they shouldn't still be on the milk. They should be on the meat already, able to be a witness for him, able to tell somebody how to be saved. We can't save anybody, but we should be able to lead them to the one who can save them. It is through the word that we learn these things. It's through prayer that we learn these things. It is through our attendance with one another, the fellowship that we have when we come together to worship God. See, so many say they can say, you know, they can be saved and stay at home. You probably can if you're sick. But if you're able, you need to be in God's house. You need to be in God's house. I believe what God's word said, and that is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together for the purpose of worshiping him. Amen. Worshiping him. Yeah, I can worship God at home. I've done it several times. I've done it going down the road in my car and had to pull over to the side because I couldn't see where I was going. But there's nothing like coming together with other believers when everybody is there for the same purpose, and that purpose is to worship and honor Him. Worship and honor Him. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. So when we do these things, we're living in the power of love. I got a message I'm preaching Wednesday night at High Point. And it speaks of love. Who, what, when, where, and why. Who do we love? When do we love? Why do we love? All these things. We love because of God. God loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son so that none of us would perish but have everlasting life. So He says here that we should abide in His love. Keep His commandments. When we keep His commandments, then we show how much we truly love Him. That's His commandments. Yes, some are for the Israelites only. But many, many, many of them are for us, every one of us, to live and obey what God's word says. To live by the commandments and statutes that are in God's love. But we all failed. I count myself in there. Every one of us failed miserably to live by what this book says. None of us live it each and every day. But thank God we have an advocate. Amen. Who is making intercession for us. When we mess up, we can go to Him. And He pleads our case before God and forgives us. And with stretched out arms, welcoming us back home. Welcoming us back into the fold. So He said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. My joy. You want to know one of the worst things to see? That's a Christian with a sad face all the time. They walk around with, and there's no joy in their life, no happiness in their life. They just down in the dumps all the time. Why? Everybody has bad days. There's no doubt about that. Somebody say, I hope you have a good day tomorrow. Tomorrow's always going to be a good day because God made it. It's what I make of it that determines how good it is. But someone who's always complaining about this, crying about that, they never have a good day. Nothing seems to go right in their life. They're always sad. They always want somebody to feel sorry for them. They always, you know, always got a pity party going on. Cheer up. God's word said we should have joy in our life. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. God has changed our life. You know, we're free from a place called hell. We're on our, you know, why should we be sad all the time? Why? Everybody has bad days, including me. There are times when it seems like nothing goes right. There are times when it seems like I can't do anything right. Everything falls apart. But you know what? I'm still going to heaven. I'm still going to heaven. I'm still saved. You're still saved. So abide in Him. Continue in Him. No matter how bad the situation may be, The doctor may come in and give you the worst news ever. Be like Paul. Be absent from the body. Be present with the Lord. Be present with the Lord. When we take our last breath here as a child of God, we take our next breath in glory. In glory. So what do we have to be sad about? We can be happy knowing that one day we're going to see our loved ones again. One day we're going to see the patriarchs of the Bible. I look forward to sitting down with Paul and just talk with him about some of the things that he went through. Even though we're supposed to know everything when we get there, I still want to just sit down and talk with Paul, with Peter, with James, Jacob. You all thought about that. Jacob, they said he used a rock to make a pillar out of. That's somebody that can sleep anywhere. They can sleep anywhere. But then he wrestled with the angel. And his hip come out of joint. And he changed his name from Jacob, which was a conniver, to Israel. There's so much that we had to look forward to. There's no reason why there should be sorrow in our lives. Bad things happen to every one of us, but we can still have joy knowing that we're going to a better place. In verse 12, he said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Greater love. No man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. They still didn't know what he was talking about. He laid down his life for every one of us. Every one of us. See, that's the good thing about it. He doesn't pick and choose who he was going to die for. He died for the world. He died for everybody. No matter what they were, what they were into, what kind of condition they were in, no matter how rich or poor, which side of the tracks they lived on, no matter what color the skin was, Christ died for all. So he said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another." Love one another. He was speaking to the disciples, but that also applies to us also. We're to love one another. You know, I've always said, to me, because it's something I'd never really heard growing up, to say I love you is something hard to do. I love my family, but I know I don't tell them enough. I know I haven't told them enough how much I do love them, how proud I really am of them. But God loves us also. And he tells us every day when we climb out of the bed, when we're able to dress ourselves, when we're able to feed ourselves, when we're able to just do whatever it is that we do every day. God shows his love toward each and every one of us by the way that he blesses us each and every day. And if you say that God hasn't blessed you today, you're a liar. God blesses every one of us every day. But we need to love one another, even our enemies. And I'm pretty sure all of us have some enemies. There's always somebody that doesn't like what we do. I quit trying a long time ago to please everybody. There's no use. Because no matter how hard you try, you're not going to please everybody. But if you're pleasing him, that's all that matters. If you're pleasing God, that's all that matters. So for these things to take place, we need to abide in God. We need to abide. We need to be attached to that vine that he's speaking of. We are the branches. He is the vine. We need to be attached to him. If we're not, then God's going to cut us off. There are those that go to church week after week after week that are going to die and go to hell. Did you know that? Because a person goes to church doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. Because they sing in the choir doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. Because they get up and teach a Sunday school class, that doesn't mean that they're going to heaven. Because they get up and preach, and it's sad to say, there are many who stand behind pulpits week after week after week who do not even believe what they preach out of that book. They're not going to heaven. Abide in the branch. Love one another. Show that love toward one another. This is bearing the fruit that he's speaking of. When we show the love to one another, we bear the fruit that God intends for us to bear. When we tell others how much God loves them, we bear the fruit that God is speaking of, that Christ is speaking of. Last few verses, we're going to close with this. He said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all these things have I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Love one another. God said, Christ told him, said, you didn't choose me. There's not a person in here who chose Christ. Before we got saved, I was raised up in the church. But before I got saved, I didn't care nothing about Christ. I remember sitting in the Sunday school class, looking out the window, wishing I was somewhere else. Have you ever been there? Be sitting in church, and the preacher born. I mean born. Probably more boring than me. And you wish that you're someplace else. But when you get saved, when he calls your name, see, he called each one of us by name. He picked the time and the place when we were to get saved. We didn't pick it. He did. I know the day I got saved. I know what time it was. But I couldn't tell you what the preacher preached that night. I couldn't even tell you what songs were being sung. There's many who could tell you every detail about it. But I left that church still lost. Went to somebody else's house, got on my knees at a coffee table in their living room, and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I was, like I said, grew up in the church. From the time I was 2 weeks old, I've been a member at High Point up till I was 40-something years. But I didn't get saved until 1975. That's when I got saved. October the 25th. Happy birthday, Tuck. But see, those things you don't forget. You remember. I remember the place. I remember the time. It was around 9:30 that night. My life changed. Have I always lived like I should? No. And if you be honest, you haven't either. But I know who I have my faith in. And I know who I have my trust in. He told them, You abide in me. I abide in you. Keep my commandments and obey me. Obey me. Christ says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. No matter what you go through, he's always there with you. No matter what you have to face in this life, he's always there with you. You're never alone. You're never alone. Have you ever been at a point in your life where you felt like you was all by yourself? You're not. If you're a child of God, you're never alone. He is always right there with you. So my question is the same question I have just about every service. How close to God are you? How close to God are you? Are you where you need to be in your walk with God? Are you continuing in his love and his faith? Are you continuing in him like you should? Or have you drifted away some, gotten away from him a little bit? You know that you're saved. You know that you're on your way to heaven. But are you where you need to be in your Christian walk? If not, the altar's open. While they get a song of